Dead Rabbit Irish Whiskey, and of course a bunch of questions about whiskey. What's up, guys? My name is Chris and you're listening to the Whiskey Noobs Podcast. If you listened last week, then you already know, so I won't spend too much time talking about it. But this is the second half of our Q&A episode for this month, because I split this one into two episodes because we had a ton of questions. We had the 150th anniversary of Whiskey Noobs, or 150th, not anniversary, I'm not that old, 150th episode of Whiskey Noobs. And in this episode, I wanted to do a review of Dead Rabbit, because I've been wanting to review it lately and do like a full in-depth review of it on the podcast. So I had to split it into two different Q&A episodes. Thank you guys so much for submitting your questions. If you don't know, you can submit your questions every Wednesday on the Instagram page through the sticker on my story that I will post, and then I pick some of those questions to have on here. If you want to jump to the front of the line, you can join the Patreon page and those questions get answered first. Please consider checking that out, the link in the show notes, because that is what keeps this podcast going. Okay, I'm not going to spend any more time to waste because we got a lot to cover. I'm going to do all of these as lightning-ish round questions, so it might not be as fast as your normal lightning round question, but definitely not going to be as slow as like the long, long form questions that I do, because we got a lot of ground to cover, and then I want to review this Dead Rabbit. I'm going to taste and smell and sip the Dead Rabbit kind of as we go through this Q&A episode, and then I will do a full review at the end. I'll look it up and read some of the important information about it to you guys, etc. Okay, I'm going to start with a very quick tasting of this Dead Rabbit while I look through the first few questions and formulate some answers, and then we're going to get started. Let's do this thing. Let's dive into some of these questions. I would like to know, how often do you think it's okay to open a new bottle? I would say you can open a new bottle as often as you want, as long as you're not letting bottles go bad. And if you're not leaving your bottles with this much left in them, for those who aren't watching the video version, a few glasses worth, I guess. If you're not leaving them with just less than half of it in them, they're probably not going to go bad for quite a long time. But I would be careful, and I would not open any more bottles than you think you can manage. It's honestly a personal preference type of thing. Next question, do I prefer solo content or collaborations? I can't really say I prefer either, because I love collaborations and working with people. I've always kind of been more of a team project type guy. Okay, so actually, I think I just answered the question. I probably prefer working with people and having people on the show and doing that sort of thing. However, from a realistic perspective, I do a lot of solo stuff because then I'm able to schedule it easier and it makes me able to make more content a little bit quicker. So I guess I would say my preference is a collaboration, but I don't have enough time to do a lot of collaborations. But I also really like solo content. There's something about just me in a microphone or me in a camera making videos, making podcasts, that sort of a thing. And I don't really do a lot of collaborative content in short form, but that's really difficult. It's really difficult to come up with something that's like coherent without just being like, hey, look, I'm collaborating with this guy, but actually like coming up with something cool. So that's probably why I haven't done a lot of those types of collaborations. But I do want to branch out and do more of them because I like collaborating with people. The next question, best whiskeys for beginners who are a bleeped out word that I'm going to replace with pansies, like the flower. I think that's a flower, right? The best whiskeys for beginners who don't like harsh stuff, let's put it that way. I would say Irish whiskey is very light and mellow. Might be too light and mellow for you. Then maybe I'd try some wheated bourbon, because that's more of a sweet type of a bourbon. And then try some scotch out. Scotch is definitely very smooth and sweet and a lot of times oily, a little bit more approachable. If none of those are working for you, it may be that you're drinking something that doesn't have enough kick. Then maybe try like a high rye bourbon. For some people, it tastes harsher because it doesn't have enough of a spice flavor to it. It has the alcohol burn, but not necessarily a spice flavor to cover it up. So some people kind of go back and forth on that. What are my feelings about Heaven Hill 7-Year Bottled and Bond? I really enjoy the Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond, and I saw some people online not digging it very much. I thought it was really good. I thought it was very unique. As far as like rare stuff goes, it's not super rare. It's actually not too hard to find. At least for a while there, it wasn't in my area. And I like it for that reason, so I think it's really tasty and worth trying. Why do I buy anything else but rare breed when it's when it slaps like Will Smith? I didn't read that question all the way through until right now, so that's funny. Rare breed is fantastic. I think that's a little bit of a rhetorical question, but I do really enjoy rare breed. And you will too if you like high flavor, high proof. Great joke though. That was good. All right. What's your top tip for those who are just getting into whiskey? My top tip is trying very different types of whiskey, not just falling into the trap of, oh, these types of things are good. And I think my biggest tip is probably staying in a lower price range and trying different things rather than jumping to a higher price range, thinking that that is going to magically be something that you're going to like, because it most likely won't be. So stick around in that 30-ish dollar range, try out a bunch of different things, and then jump into that higher dollar range. What's the question no one asks that you want them to? Oh, you're going to make me think here. Perfect opportunity to take another sip of this whiskey. A question that nobody asks that I want them to ask. Probably, hey, do you want this bottle of Pappy Van Winkle for free? Hey, do you want this $1 million to sponsor your podcast for one episode? Or maybe, hey, are you on steroids? You look jacked. Those would be great questions to be asked, but obviously I'm kidding. You guys do a great job asking your questions. I can't think of any like serious questions that I'm like, man, I wish somebody was asking those questions. I like unpopular opinion type questions, maybe like more specific than that, but like somebody just asked what was a whiskey that wasn't good, but I thought it was worth it for the uniqueness. That was a like good kind of unpopular opinion question. Yeah, I can't think of anything too serious that I'm like, that you guys haven't asked. You guys do a great job with the questions. So yeah, I guess I'll leave it at that. That was a good question. Like that made me think while I was drinking that whiskey. Would you be open to a meetup with others from Northeast Ohio to have some drinks? I don't necessarily do specific meetups, but I would like to get more into the event side of things. It's just one of those things I haven't had the chance to do, but I would love to do things where people could all meet up and like taste some whiskey, hang out somewhere, like a whole group. I think that'd be a lot of fun, but I don't have a way to do that right now, but it's absolutely something I've been thinking about, especially with like the new Discord. I'd really like to try to work on like audio chats or video chats with the patrons. I think that'd be a lot of fun as well. All right. What other hobbies do you do deep dives on outside of cigars? I think the next biggest hobby for me in terms of like deep dive, learning a ton about it, is probably like Christian apologetics. I'm very big into theology, philosophy, metaphysics, those sorts of things. So like right now I'm reading a book called The Five Proofs for the Existence of God. Very good so far, kind of a philosophy, theology type book. To me, that's the most important question, and so it's the most interesting question to learn about. I like to listen to debates between Christians and atheists, or even, not even Christians, but theologists, I guess you'd say, and atheists, people who are in favor of theism, the idea that there is a God out there, versus people who believe in materialism, the idea that there is no God and it's just the universe and matter and energy. That's got to be my next biggest hobby. It is addictive, and it's something that I spend a lot of time listening to podcasts, listening to debates, reading books, those sorts of things. So great question, though. I wouldn't have even thought of that if you hadn't asked, because it made me think, like, what other hobbies do I have? And I was like, oh, yeah, I spend a lot of time on that. But when you don't think about it, you don't think about what your hobbies are, I guess. It's kind of like when somebody, you're like, there's fun facts about me, and then your professor's like, name a fun fact about it, and you're like, oh, no. That's kind of how that felt. But I figured it out, so thank you for asking it. Funny question, is wild turkey rare breed worth it, considering the earlier question? I would say yes. If you like flavorful, punchy, a little bit spicy, bold, then yes, it's worth it. Favorite bad whiskey? For example, mine is the Gold Bar, this person says. I've never had the Gold Bar. They said, so bad, but my gosh, is it shiny and audacious. My favorite bad whiskey. I don't think I have a favorite bad whiskey. I truly, most things I review, there's been very few times where I'm like, this whiskey does not have its place. Most things that I review, I'm like, somebody out there likes this bottle. So I can't think of any bottles that I'm like, this is bad. Like, this is not good. Don't buy this. I truly can't think of any off the top of my head. So I'm sorry. That's a little bit disappointing of an answer. Favorite sherry cask scotch under $100? Oh my goodness. That's a tough one. Is Lagavulin 16 finished in sherry casks? I can't remember. I don't think it is. Okay. I'm just going to wing it. I'm going to say Aberlour. 12-year? Is that 12-year over there? I think it's 12-year. And I think that's definitely got sherry cask to it. I'm going to go with that right now because I'm trying to think quickly and I'm not 100% sure. All right. Next question. I know you're a whiskey lover. Ever thought of doing other spirits such as rum? That's hilarious. Like, I maybe this subconsciously was implanted in my brain when I earlier, either in this episode or the last episode, I don't remember which one, said I want to start getting into those types of reviews. So yes, I have considered it. I'd love to branch out into rums, brandies, tequilas, mezcals, those sorts of things. So I'm glad to hear that you are most likely wanting that. I guess you didn't say. I'm assuming you want those types of reviews. So yeah, hopefully I will branch into those sorts of things. Next question. Do you think your haircut has changed the way that you taste whiskey? Absolutely. It's night and day. No, it didn't. It didn't change anything at all. Whiskey tastes exactly the same. But for those who don't watch the video version and don't watch my short form content, yes, I did get a haircut. My hair is now short. I donated my hair, or at least it's in an envelope upstairs to be donated. And I just was ready to have it gone. I was done with my hair. So for now, it's gone. Will it? Am I saying it's gone forever? I'm not saying that. It could come back, but I'm done with it for right now. And I'm really liking the haircut, so yeah, I don't know. Doesn't make the whiskey taste any different, I guess. Can you talk about the difference between small batch and single barrel? Absolutely. How much time do we have left? Oh, we're doing really good on time. I'm kind of cooking. All right. The difference between small batch and single barrel. Small batch is not a regulated term. So small batch whiskey just means that the distiller considers their batch size small. That can mean a lot of things. So it's a little bit tough. Single barrel isn't controlled in the greatest way because apparently now there's a lot of people kind of fudging what it means. But traditionally, it has meant you take a barrel of whiskey, you put that barrel into bottles, and you sell it. That is opposed, you might think that's all whiskey, right? No. Actually, what normally happens is you take a bunch of barrels, you blend them all together in a vat, and that gives you a more consistent flavor, and then you bottle that. And if you blend a small batch of barrels together, you might call it small batch. Who knows what that actually means, how small that is. If you do one barrel into bottles and sell that, then that is a single barrel. I have an eyelash going into my eye. That is hurting. Okay. Then that, if it's one barrel going into bottles, then that's single barrel typically. It's getting a little confusing because there's people kind of working their way around the rules a little bit. I don't want to get too deep into that, and I'm honestly not the most educated about it, but traditionally, that's what single barrel has meant. Irish whiskey recommendations for St. Paddy's Day. This was accidental. Ooh, this might be coming out after St. Paddy's Day, so I'm sorry if it did. But Dead Rabbit Irish whiskey that I wanted to try. I should hold it up to the closer camera. I had it for a St. Paddy's Day episode of the Perfect Pairing podcast, which you could have listened to before St. Paddy's Day. I think this is coming out after St. Paddy's, but Perfect Pairing came out beforehand. Anyhow, I like this Dead Rabbit because it's not overly expensive. I also really like Jameson Black Barrel. That's probably my favorite, just run-of-the-mill. I never say something's my favorite. It's probably the sentimental value, but just run-of-the-mill. You can find it at most stores, Irish whiskey. But this Dead Rabbit is very tasty, and I'm going to talk about why after like a couple more questions. All right, let's keep it moving. Double-walled whiskey glasses. That's all the question was. I would recommend the James Bentley whiskey glasses. They're on my Amazon storefront. I forget how you can get to that, but if you do, it's at the link in my bio for sure. I think I might be able to put the link in the show notes of this episode as well. So if I can, then I will. And yeah, if you go there and you can find the James Bentley whiskey glasses, in my opinion, they're good because they're relatively inexpensive. They do a great job. I've used them on multiple occasions for pleasure and for videos. So I've used them just because I like them. So James Bentley on Amazon. And then also there's the Norlin whiskey glass, but it's a good bit more expensive. And then there's a different one that I just saw the other day that I don't remember the name of. So, but if you're also asking how they function, the idea is they're double-walled, so your hand's not heating up the whiskey necessarily. Also, they look kind of cool, and the James Bentley especially is very ergonomic. It feels nice in your hand, which is why I like it. All right. If you buy a whiskey to try and absolutely hate it, what do you suggest to do with it? A couple things. I suggest you keep it and you offer it to friends who might like it whenever they're over. I recommend you try it in some cocktails. Maybe you'll like it in cocktails. I recommend you try pairing it with a cigar. This is a new thing that I've learned from the Perfect Pairing podcast. Some stuff you might not like, you try it with a cigar, you might like it because of the way the pairing works out. Is that a spoiler? I don't know if that episode's come out or not yet. Just go. You might want to listen to that podcast as well, because we had one that was kind of a surprise. Alone, it's tough for some people. With a cigar, it was delicious. It actually was my favorite pairing of that episode, because we rank the pairings and rate them at the end. So, yeah, that's a few recommendations of things that you can do with it. Now, let's get on to this Dead Rabbit Irish whiskey review. Oh, I went too far back, and now I gotta find it again. I was gonna read you guys information about the bottle. Here, I'll read it to you from the back for now. This is a unique blend of Irish malt and grain whiskey, gently rested in fine seasoned bourbon cask, finished in small, handcrafted first fill American oak barrels, adding depth and character over a lingering note of bourbon and vanilla sweetness. That actually describes pretty well a lot of what I like about this Dead Rabbit whiskey. So it's relatively inexpensive. It's around that like $45 range, which isn't terrible, but it has these nice bourbony, oaky notes to it that liven it up. So there's a few things going on. First, it has grain whiskey in it, which gives a lot of times a vanilla sugar, kind of like the glaze of a donut without the donut type of flavor. And so you get that which can be boring, it can be a little bit simple, but then you get this like kind of the spice of the bourbon, a little bit of the malt of the Irish whiskey, and a little bit of like a cinnamon, that sort of a flavor. So that's one of the things I really like about it, because you get a little bit of both, and it's also not overly expensive. Now, you do get some alcohol burn, especially if grain whiskeys typically give you an alcohol burn, which for me they do. Some people they might not, but for me they do. Then you might get a little bit more of an alcohol burn from it than you're going to want, and a little bit more of an alcohol smell in the nose than you're going to want. That's the downside for some people, and I can totally see why you might not like it for that reason. For me personally, though, I really enjoy it for the price, and I find it interesting. Would I pay any more for it than like $40-$45? Probably not. But I just like that it's something a little bit different. I have a lot of Irish whiskeys that are very sweet. I have a couple with a little bit of spice to them. This just brings a little bit more, in my opinion, of the spice. You still get some of the sweet cream, maybe almost like a banana cream, and then you get some spice. I'm going to see if I can find their flavor notes, because I do want to run through and compare them to my flavor notes. Oh, and this is aged for 5 years, by the way. I want to compare to my flavor notes, though. Also, one thing I wanted to point out, I read it, but maybe you missed it, is that this is aged in bourbon casks. So used, like casks that used to have bourbon in them, but then finished in virgin American oak casks. So then it's finished in the barrels that bourbon has aged in. It's kind of like the old bait and switch there. So you're aging it in bourbon casks and then finishing it in unused casks. Very interesting. All right, let me see if they give any flavor notes for it, and we will compare. All right, so this Dead Rabbit Irish whiskey is brought to you by the Dublin Liberties Distillery, and it is 44% alcohol by volume, distilled in Dublin, Ireland. And let's see what they say. On the nose, there's big hits of cedar and vanilla. I for sure back that vanilla. The palate is full-bodied bloom of dark chocolate, orange, and oak that gives way to buttery pastry and spices. I can't speak to the dark chocolate. Maybe I'll have to try it again. Orange, oak, and buttery pastry, for sure. A little bit of spice. That's what I was saying I like about it, is it has that little bit of spice. So, yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. And oh, I never knew this is where the name came from. A collaboration of the Dead Rabbit Grocery and Grog in New York, by way of Belfast, and the Dublin Liberties Distillery, this whiskey is unmistakably Irish and destined for great drinks. How clever. I did not know that. And on their website, it is €45, which is towards the top of the price range for me, but still very tasty. I like they mentioned the body, they mentioned the oak, and of course those are sales points, but I do like that about it. I like that it has some of that body, it has some of that oak, has a little bit of that spice. I'm going to take one more sip, wrap up my opinion, and then we're going to get out of here. Yeah, I don't know. It's got something different to it. I really like that about it. I like some of that body. I can see for some people, they're going to say, some people will say for that 45-ish bucks that it's got too much alcohol burn, not quite smooth enough for them, and I would agree with them for that. If you're okay with that, like I am, I think it's really tasty, and I like that it's a little bit different, a little bit more body, a little bit more of a spice and an oak, and overall, a pretty tasty drink. So this one could go either way, really depending on your opinion. For some people, this is not worth 45 bucks. So please listen to the reasons that I gave, and not just the fact that I said I like it, because there are going to be people who don't like it, and that's okay. Everybody likes something different. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Thank you for submitting your questions for the Q&A. And next month, we'll be back to normal Q&As. This month has been chaos with starting the new podcast and traveling and things like that. But we're going to be getting back to normal next month. Thank goodness. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for your support. For the 151st time, I will leave you with learn to drink, drink to learn. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of Whiskey Noobs. If you need more Whiskey Noobs content in your life, make sure you check out our Patreon page in the show notes. And if you like the show, please make sure to leave a 5-star rating or review. It only takes a couple of minutes, and they're way more helpful than people realize. If you want to do tastings alongside the show, make sure you join the email list by sending an email to whiskeynoobspodcast@gmail.com with a subject line that says email list. You'll receive monthly emails with a list of the whiskeys that will be featured throughout the month so that you can buy them ahead of time. You can also find more Whiskey Noobs content on Instagram @whiskey_noobs and on TikTok @whiskeynoobspodcast. Once again, thank you guys for listening. The Whiskey Noobs podcast does not support underage or otherwise irresponsible consumption of alcohol.